There are a lot of reasons why getting the right nutrition can be a challenge. Time constraints, budget, and skill in the kitchen can make it tough. For older adults, there are additional obstacles, and that can lead to a health crisis. Judy Knutson is a UW Extension family living educator for Brown County. She has great advice for both older adults themselves and for people who are taking care of an elderly family member. Judy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, Judith.
We're very glad to have you on. And I think this is a real issue. As I shared with you when we were talking a couple days ago, I had the experience of an elderly aunt who was living upstairs from me and my father. And we thought she was eating enough, and she wasn't. And she had a spell of, she fell and she was very disoriented. And it turned out that she was suffering from malnutrition and dehydration. And that was with us not making sure she was having every meal, but you know, we really had no idea that that was an issue.
It certainly can be an issue, and particularly in Wisconsin, we see an increase in the number of older adults, as well as nationally and globally. So more family members are going to have responsibility for caring for older adults, as well as maybe looking on it for neighbors or other friends that they have. And certainly we may think that older adults are doing, you know, an adequate job of, you know, eating meals, perhaps having a snack. But when we're not there, we don't always know mm-hmm. what's going on. And that can lead to the situation that you talked about in your family, Judith, of having an elderly relative you thought who was eating adequately, but ultimately you found out that that wasn't the case.
So let's talk about some of the reasons why maintaining proper nutrition is a challenge for older people. You mentioned in a recent article through UW Extension that older adults just don't have as much of an appetite.
They don't. And part of that is that they're not as active. So they're not burning as many calories. So they may not be as hungry as they once were. Also, too, we know that over time we tend to lose taste buds, and age can impact our ability to smell. So, you know, we walk into a kitchen and we smell how good the food is, that aroma, or we taste something and it tastes great. But as we get older, we tend to lose those taste buds and that sense of smell. So, you know, we don't have that enticement mm-hmm. to try foods. Also, too, a number of older adults are on medications, which can impact how food tastes. They may have a medical condition that also will impact the fact that they're, you know, not hungry or they're not feeling well. And for some older adults, it's a sense of loss. They've lost their significant other. They've lost friends, neighbors. And so it's not very much fun to eat by themselves.
Sure.
And so they tend not to eat as much.
You also make a point, which is not something that I had thought about, that just general muscle loss, which we know happens as we all age, can actually make chewing and swallowing more difficult than in our younger years.
And that is true. As people get older, chewing becomes an issue. It may be because they have some dentures that don't fit well, or they have other dental issues. And so they're not, you know, as readily able to eat certain foods, you know, for example, meat or things that are a little bit more difficult to chew because they don't have that capacity that they once did to eat some of those types of foods.
And also thirst might not be as easily identified. And you said that can cause, dehydration itself can be an issue, but also that can cause some mouth problems, which can also impact the ability to eat.
Certainly, as we get older, older adults don't have that ability to recognize that they're thirsty. And we do encourage older adults to consume beverages throughout the day. They may not be thirsty, but, you know, have a glass of water, a cup of tea, maybe some fruit because mm-hmm. that's a good source of water, cup of soup for one of their meals. So even though they don't feel thirsty, they still need to remember to consume either beverages or foods that have a lot of moisture in them throughout the day. And certainly, too, that dry mouth can lead to problems with teeth and gums. And so, you know, that's a concern as well. So, you know, we do want older adults to consume plenty of beverages throughout the day just to make certain that they stay hydrated.
We are talking with Judy Knudsen, who is a UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. We'd love to have you join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you an older adult yourself? Do you feel like you get the nutrition you need without too much trouble? Or maybe you're caring for an older adult. If you need some advice, Judy is happy to help. Again, 1-800-642-1234. So, Judy, what are some of the signs to watch for that an older person might not be getting the nutrition that they need?
A couple signs is if they're not purchasing groceries very often or they're not getting out to purchase those groceries. The fact that if you go to their house, the food in the refrigerator stays in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. You maybe don't see any dishes in the sink, that sort of thing. You can certainly check and see if they've got, cereal box or, some of their food products are, are they decreasing in content within those packages, that sort of thing. Also, too, maybe the fact that they don't have much energy, and so they're a little bit listless and, just not very active. Those are some of the signs. Also, too, if they appear to be confused, that would be another situation where it kind of unexpectedly occurs. Or they suddenly have some health issues and they've been pretty healthy for a while. That may be another option to or situation to take a look and see what they're eating. But, certainly if they're not going out for their meals and they're not getting any, and they're not getting into the grocery store very often, or food's not mm-hmm. decreasing in the containers or in their refrigerator, it's certainly a conversation to have with that older person in regards to, what are they eating.
Let's go to the phones and Carol in Appleton. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I wanted to mention that another thing that can stop a person from eating, and you may not realize it, is that they could have thrush. That happened to our 90-year-old, my father-in-law. He just wasn't seeming interested in eating and took him to the doctor, and they discovered his tongue was all coated with thrush, which is kind of a fungus that makes all food taste terrible. Mm. And so
it can be painful, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can just treat it with an antibiotic, and next thing you know, he was eating again.
Mm. So it might be a secondary effect to something else that might even be meant to help the health of that person.
Well, thrush is something you don't want to get on your tongue, and
right.
It's a nasty kind of like a fungus or
right.
Something, and it's easy enough to treat it. But if you don't realize that the person has that problem, how many people stick out their tongue and say, well, let me see your tongue,
right.
Does it look
right.
like it's coated up with something kind of white?
Mm-hmm.
Food just didn't taste good.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like Carol is saying that, doing a little investigation sometimes, Judy, we need to look beyond kind of the obvious reasons.
We do. And certainly you can go about that in a quiet sort of way. Sometimes older adults feel like maybe you're trying to take their independence away, or they don't want to admit that maybe something's not right. So, yes, doing some quiet investigation is important. Another thing, too, is if you are involved in an older person's life, having a relationship with their healthcare provider is important as well, because certainly if they feel comfortable with you going to a doctor's appointment with them, that's an opportunity for you to accompany them and to ask some questions and, dive a little bit deeper mm-hmm. and find out, maybe what's going on. So sometimes, if they don't look like they're feeling well or whatever, getting them to their healthcare provider is important, because that person's skilled and can help determine why that older person mm-hmm. isn't eating, or as the caller from Appleton just mentioned, the fact that, there actually is a health issue. It can be taken care of, but the family probably would have never figured that
right.
out without some assistance.
Right. And we have a lot more to talk with Judy Knudsen about nutrition for older people. We're going to take a quick look at the news from NPR and WPR, and then we will be back. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is the Ideas Network. Eating well isn't always easy, is it? Besides the challenges of a busy modern life, there are also cravings to deal with that might head us in the direction of not very healthy choices, and there are a lot of temptations all around us. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. It's good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For older adults, the challenges often aren't the same as they are for the rest of us, and it's important that we identify and manage those barriers to good nutrition. Judy Knudsen is a UW Extension family living educator for Brown County. We're happy to have her with us today so we can all learn what to keep in mind when making sure that older adults get the nutrition that they need. And Judy, thanks again for spending time with us today.
And thank you for having me.
Well, just before the news break, we touched on something that I think is really important. And so I'd like to go back to it before we go to the phones. But you mentioned that it's really important that even if it's with the best of intentions, that people don't make older adults feel like they are out of control or that they are being treated like a child. And are there some good ways that we can talk to those older adults that we might be concerned about without, you know, kind of putting them on the defensive or making them feel like we see them as frail or feeble?
There are some strategies that we can use when we're communicating with older adults. And one of the things that we need to think about is when we initiate a conversation, rather than starting the conversation with you, we need to use I messages. I'm very concerned. And then you can go on from there in regards to having a conversation. But then you're taking ownership for your feelings rather than using the word you, which is a blaming word. And we know for older adults, being independent is very important to many of them. And so we want to be respectful, but we also sometimes are concerned about situations that we see. And so we need to think about how we're going to communicate them. I have a mother with dementia. So one of the things early when she was in her early stages of dementia, I would actually jot down, you know, some thoughts before I had some of those difficult conversations with her, because I know she felt it very important to stay independent as long as she could, but I and my siblings had some concerns. So just thinking a little bit, writing down some notes so that you can guide the conversation along will be most helpful in dealing with some of these difficult topics that sometimes have to be discussed with an older person.
Let's go to the phones and Betty and Brown Deer. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I'm a 70-year-old woman, and I've been retired for about 5 years, and I just am having so much fun cooking. I had a great stir fry with loads of vegetables and chickpeas, but I visit my friends who are 15, 20 years older than me in nursing homes, and it's processed great turkey loaf with barrel gravy and a great, great big pile of mashed potatoes and maybe a tablespoon of creamed spinach. And it just concerns me because it's so easy to get good vegetables and stuff.
Right. And it sounds like what you're seeing there, Betty, is not only probably not the healthiest choices, but also not very appealing. And we talked about, Judy, how important it is to try to really help the older adults keep their appetite.
And that is so important with so many opportunities for them to not be quite so engaged in eating, as we talked about earlier on the segment. But I do think one of the things that we need to think about is if you are looking for another home environment or another living environment for that older adult, is to take the time, in addition to looking throughout the facility, take a look at the menus, take a look at the food, and make certain that it's, you know, appropriate portion sizes, good variety, that is maybe not so processed. Our caller was right. There are, you know, lots of fresh produce. But in some of these facilities, especially the very, very large ones, you know, they're feeding a number of people who may have special dietary needs, some people who have physical issues, if they've had a stroke, whatever. So it's really hard to prepare meals that go across a broad section of older adults who have lots of needs.
Sure.
But certainly when you're out looking at these types of facilities, do take the time to find out what's on the menu and take a look at what the food is like. I do that when I visit my mother who lives out of state. I get
there on a regular basis. And I do take a look at the food, and I check the menus every time I go because I want to make certain that she is well-nourished, and I know food's important to her. That's something she can still relate to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take the time to check that out as well. Also, too, I take her out. She's still very mobile, and so we do go out for meals, and she's very appreciative of that as well. And, you know, with the caller, if you've got some older friends or relatives that are in care facilities, is to take the time once in a while just to get them out. Maybe it's a picnic, it's going to a restaurant, you know, to a church dinner, whatever. But, you know, that is a treat to get them out and let them enjoy some other food as well.
Well, and I wonder, Betty, do you think there might be some healthy and delicious snacks that you could prepare and bring with you to share with your friends?
I'm trying to come up with things. Because I know if things taste a little bit sweet, I mean, like carrots with a slight glaze on it, I have to be careful because I always check with the nurses because I do have one friend who is diabetic, mm-hmm. and so I check and bring him stuff like that once in a while. I think you can. I would love to come up with, I'm hoping that there's a recipe book out there someplace that has stuff mm-hmm. that is loaded with yummy things that maybe an older person who's not chewing well can enjoy.
Well, actually, Judy, you did share some really good examples in the Extension article that you wrote. So you talk about serving soft and easy to chew foods, but that doesn't mean they're not delicious. You talk about mashed sweet potatoes or scrambled eggs, yogurt, and you also suggest smoothies.
Right. Those are certainly some great examples. Some other things, even, you know, angel food cake. It's got a little bit of sugar in it, but you can put some fresh fruit on it. That, you know, certainly is a treat. Even just bringing some fresh fruit. It may not, you know, if they have chewing issues, you know, an apple may not be appropriate, but, you know, some grapes or something like that would work. Some fun beverages, you know, if they like tea, maybe some different types of tea that you'll bring along, some unsweetened juices. Sometimes you can think about, you know, some bagels. If you make some muffins at home, bring those along. I like to make homemade bread, so sometimes I'll bring my mom just a couple slices of homemade bread. So there's, you know, things that you can bring along that are fun. Or if you make cookies and they've got oatmeal and some dried fruit in them, you know, that's another very easy snack to pack and bring along and something that many of them will enjoy because they don't get those home-baked items. And
right.
so it's fun to enjoy some of those items as a treat.
You also talk about making hearty soups and stews with well-cooked vegetables because then they are easy to eat. But I'm also thinking that's a great way to make sure that dehydration isn't an issue as well.
Well, and dehydration definitely because soups and stews typically have quite a bit of moisture in them, but we still want people to get the appropriate number of servings of vegetables a day. And so, you know, if they could get, you know, 3 to 5 servings of vegetables, that would be great. Those are typically be half cup servings. And so putting vegetables, you know, in soups and stews and, you know, if you make an omelet, that's usually easy to chew mm-hmm. and you can put some vegetables in that or the mashed sweet potatoes. There's lots of ways to incorporate vegetables into meals. And we do know that older adults need the vitamins and minerals that they get from vegetables. They're also a good source of fiber. And so we want older adults to get plenty of vegetables in their diet.
We're talking with Judy Knutson. She is UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, talking about nutrition for older adults. And we'd love to hear from you. Are you an older adult yourself? Do you feel like you get the nutrition you need, or could you use some advice? And maybe you're caring for an older adult. If you need some pointers, Judy is happy to help. Well, Judy, let's go back to the phones and Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi, I just had a thought. You may be talking mostly about people who live in retirement homes or, you know, with families or something, but there are especially a lot of widowed women who worked, say, in the 1930s or 40s or were widowed when they were, you know, still young parents and had to bring up children. And when they retired, they had very, very little money to live on. Originally, you know, I guess everybody now gets Social Security, but not really enough to live a really healthy life on. And we had a neighbor who was in her 80s when we moved into this neighborhood. And in exchange for her acting sort of as my son's grandmother, since our family weren't here, we used to we went over there all the time, and we invited her to our shindigs. And she was very sociable. She was had a great sense of humor. But when I went over to her house, it looked to me as if she were living on things like canned tomato soup mm-hmm. and grilled cheese sandwiches.
Sure.
And that wasn't because she didn't like to eat. She had nothing wrong with her appetite. It was because she had bills that she has been
sure.
brought up strictly, and she paid her bills first, and she just wasn't very lavish with herself. And I think that's a real problem because food prices are going up and up and up as
sure.
speculation controls.
Sure. Let's let Judy give her input on that. Certainly, we know that you can spend a lot of money buying good foods, Judy. But what are some tips that you would offer people for getting good food, but hopefully, you know, within a budget, which many older people are on a fixed income?
They are, and that certainly is a concern. You know, they may be getting Social Security, but it's not very much. And by the time you pay for your utility bills, some medication, and some other expenses, oftentimes there's not much money left for food. And as the caller mentioned, sometimes that's the last item that individuals purchase after they've paid their other bills. Certainly, if they're low income, all counties have home-delivered meals. And you can call your county aging unit. It may be an aging and disability resource center where, you know, that unit of aging gets some information from them about home-delivered meals. That's a very, there's no cost typically to that program. And then you also have somebody who's stopping every day, at least the 5 days during the week, to check on that person as well when they deliver those meals. So that's certainly a very viable option.
And say again where people can get information about that.
Their county unit of aging.
Okay.
So in most counties now, we have aging and disability resource centers, and you can call them. Also, a number of counties have 211 numbers where you can call and get information about services in your county, and that would be another option. Or you can call your county extension office, and certainly they can give you the number for that county unit on aging. But certainly home-delivered meals is an option. Or if they're somewhat mobile, most counties have congregate meal sites where individuals will come, they'll eat together, it's some socialization, as well as they might have some afternoon or morning activities that these older adults can participate in. And the cost of those meals are very minimal, very well balanced and nutritious, so that would certainly be another option. Sharing leftovers. I have some neighbors down the street that are older, and so, you know, if I happen to have leftovers and I'll just, you know, stop by and leave them leftovers, they kind of do the same for me when I've got a really busy work schedule, but it works out really nice because we try to take care of each other. So sharing leftovers, you know, an older adult, oftentimes if it's something that, you know, you enjoyed but you've got way too much mm-hmm. of it, share it with that, you know, elderly family member or neighbor. And also, too, if you're going to the grocery store, call that person up and see if they'd like to come along.
Yes.
Transportation may be an issue. They may have an older vehicle if they don't have a lot of resources. And so if you can take them along, that saves a little bit on the wear and tear of their vehicle as well as the fuel that they would need to purchase. And it gives them an opportunity to take a look at the grocery store, and you can certainly give them some advice. You know, I noticed this was on sale this week, this food item. You can, you know, are you interested in purchasing that? So you can kind of guide that along a little bit too. But certainly the amount of money that some older adults have is pretty small, and so they do have to budget very carefully. So those are a few strategies to help them stretch those dollars.
And you mentioned, Judy, sharing leftovers of prepared food, but also garden extras, I'm sure, would be welcome by a lot of older folks who are living on their own and cooking for themselves.
Exactly. If you happen to have too many cucumbers or tomatoes that are soon going to come ripe, you know, share them with the neighbors. A number of organizations, as well as many of those in the faith community, you know, have the plant a row for, and mm-hmm. then they, that extra row is either given to a food pantry, it could be given to neighbors, members of, you know, the faith community, who, whatever. But, you know, share those, any extra produce you have, because we know for a lot of older people, they don't buy a lot of produce. It can be expensive.
Sure.
And so, you know, it really can be a treat to have some tomatoes from the garden, some cucumbers or whatever.
Let's go back to the phones and Stephanie in Madison. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi there. Hi. This is a real very, very appropriate topic for me and my husband right now. We're both in our 60s, and we don't drive. He never wanted to learn how to drive, and I am visually impaired, now legally blind. And I want to basically mention I'd like to see more stores do things like delivery, delivering groceries possibly. There are some stores that do. Also, there are different ways of cooking now, like things like, you know, the George Foreman grill, for example, mm-hmm. Like different types of skillets, electric skillets mm-hmm. and appliances, crock pots, things like they're when I started really losing my vision, there's alternative ways of cooking, things like for example, using the George Foreman grill or using a crock pot, stuff like that. Maybe you could talk about those topics, and I can
sure.
either stay on or I can hang up, one or the other.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, Stephanie brought up some great points, Judy.
Driving can be an issue for older adults. And I think as, you know, our baby boomers start to age and they have pretty high expectations for services, I think that there'll be more opportunities for the delivery of groceries. Certainly we've seen in the news where some of national organizations or businesses are starting to practice drones. I don't know if we'll have drones flying around anytime soon to deliver groceries, but I do think we'll see more grocery stores or others who start businesses and say, you know, I'll pick up your groceries for a fee and deliver them, that probably will be the case. I do think as her comment about the appliances that we have in our kitchen, we need to think about. Many of us have crock pots. We have those George Foreman grills. We have electric fry pans, mm-hmm. and they get put on a shelf and we don't use them. And the nice thing about those appliances is, you know, particularly like a crock pot or whatever, it doesn't take much energy to use a crock pot. And it's a great way to cook maybe a cut of meat that's not quite as tender. You can cook it over a period
right.
of time. You
and
can
not
cook
quite
vegetables.
As expensive either.
Exactly. And you can cook vegetables, make them a little bit tender. And the nice thing is you oftentimes will have some leftovers. And whether you choose to put them in the refrigerator or freeze them for another meal, use those appliances, because otherwise they just gather dust. But many times they were designed to make things a little bit easier. And, you know, they also are a great way to make food taste good and to make food preparation a little bit easier, particularly for people who have health conditions where it is a struggle to prepare meals on a regular mm-hmm. basis.
You also talk about using kitchen tools and utensils specifically designed for older adults or people with disabilities. And I hadn't really thought about that actually the tools to make the food can be an additional obstacle.
They can, and you can now buy a number of kitchen utensils where the handles are built up. And so if you've got arthritis, you can more easily grasp those. There are also a number of devices that can help you take the lids off of jars, which can be an issue as you get older. You don't have as much muscle strength. So if you get time, take a look at the utensil wall in many of the stores. Because they do have built-up handles or, you know, they're much easier to use. So there are a lot of varieties out there for people who do have health conditions or they've lost some muscle mass and they're just not as strong as they used to be, but they still would like to prepare meals or snacks, that sort of thing.
And actually, it would be harder, I think, for older people who are living in kind of a managed environment like a retirement home or a nursing home. But you do encourage older adults to think about eating smaller and more frequent meals rather than, you know, the rigid kind of 3-meal-a-day schedule that, most of us kind of grew up with.
Right. And you know, that was how most of us grew up, was eating that a more rigid meal schedule. But we kind of now live in a society where we do a lot of grazing. We eat a little this and we eat a little that, and we kind of eat throughout the day. And for older adults, you know, that's not a bad option either, because sometimes it takes the pressure off of having to prepare a couple meals a day. You can prepare smaller options. The lady who called that was talking about, she had just made a stir fry with lots of vegetables. You know, that would be something easy to do, and you could have a small amount of that, and then that wouldn't have to be a great big meal. And then you can have some snacks throughout the day, include some beverages, and that certainly would be a good way to go. And it takes off a little bit of that pressure of having to prepare those meals that we used to have, which were usually potatoes, or pasta with meat and vegetables.
A big hunk of meat.
Exactly.
And you also suggest making lunch the main meal of the day. Why is that?
I think at that point of the day, people are still feeling pretty good. They're still feeling fresh, and they have some energy. If their memory's starting to decline a little bit, they're usually sharper in the morning than maybe they are later in the day. And so it's a good idea to have that main meal at lunch. It's a little bit easier to prepare. Mm-hmm. And we do know that for people who eat their big meals at night or later in the evening, is sometimes you go to bed and, you know, your body hasn't fully digested that meal. And so, you know, you just don't get that opportunity to burn off those calories. Mm-hmm. So if you eat at, you know, lunchtime, your larger meal, it still gives you time to take a walk in the afternoon, or if you're not that mobile, you could do some chair exercises, but it gives you some time to utilize those calories that you've consumed.
And have some healthy digestion. We also had a caller who we couldn't get to that pointed out that many older men never learned how to cook because their moms did it and then their wives did it. So making sure that men know how to cook for themselves is also probably a good idea.
It is a very good idea, and you're right. There are a number of men who didn't learn to cook, and so they either, you know, live on sandwiches and soup,
right,
or they go out to eat frequently.
And, right,
you know,
and that's, yeah, that's not good for any of us.
Calories, no.
Well, unfortunately, Judy, we are out of time, but thank you so much for spending the time with us today. It was great.
And thank you for having me.
Judy Knutson is a UW Extension Family Living Educator for Brown County. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay tuned to the Ideas Network.